They call themselves Netanyahu, but it's just a stolen name, a Hebrew mask plastered over a European exile's face. His real name was Milikowski, born of Ashkenazi lineage from Poland. Benjamin Netanyahu has neither the blood, nor the land, nor the language of those he claims to represent. His Judaism is not that of the shepherds of Hebron, nor the poets of Jaffa. It is the Judaism of a colonizer from elsewhere who put on the prophet's robe to hide the scent of ashes. Because what he represents today is not a people, it is a machine. A political, military, ideological machine, a machine of steel and contempt. Netanyahu didn't grow up on the banks of the Jordan. He grew up in the salons of New York's conservative elite and the ultra-nationalist sermons of his father, Ben Zion, the hardline Zionist historian. He never spoke Arabic. He never shared bread with a Palestinian. He never had to bury a child beneath the rubble of an Israeli airstrike. He is not from this land. He took it. And yet he decides. He demolishes. He signs the order.
Somebody to blow up a bus full of children or a building full of innocent civilians, you have to grind it into their minds. You have to wash their brains and tell them there's a higher cause out there. It's religious, ethnic, racial, whatever. And for that higher cause, you can disregard all the normal rules of morality.
What you're trying to do is you want to corral your victim, but in fact, your countries are the victim. So you dehumanize a group of people in human society, and you prepare them for the kill, for the butchery.
Yeah, you know, what we're seeing in the world today is a new form of warfare. It's unprecedented, what we're seeing. This isn't the type of warfare where you go in to conquer the enemy, take over the country or anything like that. It's where you just go in to destroy every single trace of the culture that was there. Gaza set the model that Israel uses on its enemies. It has set the new precedent that if you mess with Israel, we will turn your country and everybody and everything in it to rubble. You look at northern Gaza, Beit Hanun, where my friend Nadal was living. It's complete rubble now. Not one house is left standing, not one blade of grass, not one olive tree. Nothing remains of what was once Beit Hanun. And it's the same for most of Gaza. Pretty much nothing remains. You look at what they've done in Lebanon and what they're doing in Lebanon right now. The level of bombing in Lebanon is absolutely unbelievable. Like I said to you the other day, they dropped 160 bombs in the first minute that they went in there and started attacking Lebanon, and it's just been relentless.
Through the fire, through the pain, through the tears that fell like rain, still your people keep believing.
This is going on all the time in Lebanon. They're wiping out entire villages. Entire villages, like four or five villages in Lebanon, have disappeared. 1.1 million people displaced, including around about 390,000 children. This is bombing apartment buildings, just going in there and leveling entire suburbs of southern Beirut at 3 o'clock in the morning. No warning, nothing, just going in and leveling it. This is what they're doing. And it is so blatant that Israeli settlers are even in there putting down house pads in southern Lebanon while this attack is going on. Yeah, and as if that wasn't disgraceful enough, and an open war crime, I mean, you're not supposed to colonize land that is under dispute, which you would think that land you are invading and stealing was, yes, it's under dispute. Let's not even discuss this. But anyway, not only that, but Google Maps and Apple Maps have removed about five or six villages in southern Lebanon. They're not there on Google Maps anymore. You know, as Israel is advancing, the IOF, the Israeli occupation forces, are advancing and destroying civilian homes and wiping out civilian villages, some of them thousands of years old. These villages are being wiped off Google Maps like they never existed. And all this is set to become part of Greater Israel. So they're still working very much towards this project. And it's absolutely disgraceful to see what they're doing. You know, the new law that's coming to execute Palestinian prisoners, it's disgraceful. They're still bombing the shit out of Gaza. So much problems in Gaza, folks. I mean, they're living in these huge tent cities like in Al-Mawasi. Just these huge tent cities, and there's no resources, there's no sanitation, there's nothing. After the year that they've been there, there's rats getting into the tents, there's skin diseases breaking out in the people. They've just been left there to slowly rot. It's unbelievable, and the world just isn't paying attention. And now that Israel has used this model, they're now using this on Lebanon. And you've seen what they've done in Iran. They've just gone in and decimated Iran. And it isn't military targets that they're attacking. It's all of the civilian infrastructure. In fact, the amount of war crimes they've committed just in the first 40 days of this war are unprecedented.
In the last 40 days of attacks upon Iran by the United States and Israel, we have witnessed not only the murder of their supreme leader and the destruction of the supreme leader's palace in Tehran, which was itself a phenomenal place and a World Heritage Site, but we've also seen the killing of scientists, the killing of women and children. We've seen attacks on schools, education facilities, residential buildings, universities and scientific institutions. We've seen attacks on relief ambulances, on posts, branches and warehouses of the Red Crescent. We've seen attacks on EMS stations, on energy infrastructure, on critical infrastructure, water, electricity, etc. We've seen attacks on petrochemical facilities, agricultural silos, sports venues and facilities. We've seen attacks on ports and shipping infrastructure, commercial centres, IRIB technical facilities, media outlets, libraries, recreational facilities, hospitals and medical centres, attacks on Red Crescent aid workers, on healthcare workers, attacks on airports, attacks on transportation infrastructure, bridges, railway lines, attacks on cargo aircraft, attacks on passenger aircraft, attacks on cultural heritage sites, attacks on religious sites, including churches, Jewish synagogues, and mosques. And remember, all of this is being done in order to free the people of Iran. Or so we're being led to believe.
Yeah, and that's just in the first 40 days of this war. Not to mention what they're doing to Lebanon and what they're still doing to the Gaza Strip. And then there was J.D. Vance and Witkoff and Jared Kushner. Jared Kushner, what is that? It's not a man. I don't know what that is. But they went over there apparently for peace talks. It wasn't for peace talks. They basically went over there and said, hey, look, we're sorry for murdering your leader and blowing up your presidential palace and bombing the B1 bridge and taking out your oil refineries and all your power plants and killing all those children. But now we're here to basically tell you that you've got to accept a government that is installed and operated by Israel, or we intend to murder the rest of your country. That's basically America's peace plan. And they're surprised that the Iranians wouldn't accept this plan and said, no, we would like a complete end to all fighting and we would like reparations for all the damage that you've done and we're going to maintain control of the straits. So they went away and said, well, you know, Iran is being unreasonable. And Iran is still in control of the Straits of Hormuz. Now Trump, in response to this, now get this, you can't make this shit up. Trump's response to Iran failing to relinquish control of the Straits of Hormuz is to say, well, the US is going to block the Straits of Hormuz now, and we're going to force people to buy oil from the United States. I mean, this is an act of pure desperation. But America has no right to do that. This is an act of pure desperation. They've just spent all this time and all this argument saying they want to get the Straits open. And because they can't get it open, well, okay, we're going to block it ourselves. So we're in control of the situation. You know, it's unreal. It's unreal. Trump's still trying to maintain some semblance of power and some semblance of control over the situation. And they haven't had any control since day one. I mean, they thought this was just going to be a cakewalk, just going straight through there and doing what they did in Venezuela. They didn't expect the response that they're getting from Iran. And it's just not going to stop. Another thing that's come out is that it would appear that the whole rescue operation to rescue the pilot, there very likely was never any pilot that was there. And this was actually an operation to go in and attempt to steal the uranium. Iran is reputed to have a certain amount of enriched uranium. I don't remember whether it's 40 kilos or 400 kilos or whatever, I don't know, but a reasonable amount of enriched uranium. And apparently this was Trump's big moment, that he was going to send troops in there to get this uranium. This was going to be his big SEAL Team 6 moment, you know. And apparently it was a complete failure. I mean, all the stuff that I showed you on the last report, how they blew up the planes, and even the United States, they admit that they blew up the planes because they didn't want the Iranians getting them. We went in there and we got our pilot and everybody got out and everybody was safe. But we somehow had to blow up the two troop carriers we used to get all the troops in there and helicopters and rah, 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 because we didn't want the Iranians getting to them. Meanwhile, just a few years ago, when we stopped the war in Afghanistan, we left billions and billions of dollars worth of equipment behind for the Taliban. But we didn't want the Iranians getting these C-130s or helicopters because they're so advanced and precious to us. Yeah, right. Makes perfect sense. But there's every indication that this was actually a failed attempt to actually go in and steal uranium. And of course, the Iranians made a Lego video about it. Yeah.
They said it was a rescue. but it was a heist.
Uranium heist. Woo! Uranium heist. Try to steal our uranium in the dead of night. Woo! Commandos, rangers, black hawks in the fight. Failed miserably.
Just like Tabas, right?
They flew deep into ice, far and thought we wouldn't see. Woo! Special forces, excavators trying to take our enriched uranium for free. Attacked our defenses, tried to seize the ground, but we lit them up. Now the birds are down. See one toughy gone, black hawks burning in the sand. 600 million wasted on a failed master plan. They called it a rescue, but the world knows the truth. They came for our uranium.
That's the real proof.
We said it clear, this wasn't random at all. They wanted our nuclear material, that was the goal. Deep into our territory under constant threat, but they got exposed. Now the whole world sees their regret. Failed like Tabas, history repeating again. Superpower embarrassed, losing more than just men. You try to rob us in the middle of the war, now you're running scared.
We laugh from afar, sacred defense. Uranium safe.
Stop running away, keep your boots on the ground.
Yeah.
And yeah, that really would appear to be what happened, folks. There's a lot of evidence to support this. It makes no sense. It's going to blow up these planes because they don't want the Iranians getting them. Like I said on the previous report, if that happened, well, how do they get the troops out? None of it makes sense. There was a report as well by George Galloway, and I don't know how true it is, but there was a report that around about 100 troops had actually been killed in that operation and that there were 173 troops taken hostage.
According to credible reports and official statements by the Iranian government, that 173 members, officers and men of the famed Delta Force are in their hands as captured prisoners of war, and others were killed. What apparently happened was that the United States attempted a military landing, which went disastrously wrong. Was ambushed by a superior force of IRGC fighters who killed and took 173 people prisoner.
Like I said, I don't know how true that report is. I mean, I think that if the Iranians actually had prisoners, they would be putting them on TV. They'd be putting their videos up there and putting their faces on the internet and letting you know, yeah, we got these guys. And your government is lying to you. So there's a lot of propaganda going back and forth each way. Now, you can't believe much of what you hear on either side, but it's good to listen to both sides and then kind of form your own opinion based on the evidence that is visible to you, the evidence you got access to. So, but the fog of war covers up everything. So that is an interesting claim. And it's interesting that someone like George Galloway would be making that claim. So. Yeah, another thing to think about. Another thing we saw, which I'm sure you've all seen, which I've got to just touch on for a moment, was Melania Trump and that weird announcement she came out and made about how she's not involved with Jeffrey Epstein. Interesting thing to do, don't you think? I mean, nobody had actually said she was. So it's an interesting thing. It's like Netanyahu and Israel coming out to say, we didn't kill Charlie Kirk. Like within 12 hours of it happening, they, you know, put their hand up and say, it wasn't us. Well, nobody had actually pointed the finger at you yet. But there's a reason that may have happened. Apparently there's a lady called Amanda Ungaro, and she was married to a guy, I can't remember his name, but they were in a custody battle for their child, and she was a friend of Melania Trump's, and she was having a custody battle for her child, and her husband, being a friend of Donald Trump's, apparently had a bit of a word in Trump's ear and called ICE and had her deported back to Brazil. Get her out of the way for the custody battle. So she's been separated from her child. Apparently she lived in America for a long time. She was actually trafficked there by Jean-Luc Brunel, the whole Epstein saga, when they were bringing in girls with the MC2 modeling agency. trafficking girls like as young as 12 up to about 18 with promises of modeling careers and stuff. And she was a friend of Melania's, and now she's been deported, blah, blah, blah. And apparently she is blowing the whistle on a lot of stuff that happened that Trump was involved in and that Melania was involved in. Now, this is a woman scorned, you've got to understand. Very, very dangerous thing. So I would say that's why Melania has come out and said what she said. Perhaps she's trying to distance herself from Donald Trump because of all the stuff that's coming out about him. But I think it's also damage control because of what Amanda Ungaro is likely to say. So that's an interesting little twist. No one really expected to hear from Melania talking about Jeffrey Epstein in the middle of all this. It's just crazy some of the shit they do. And also, like, in the middle of all this, Trump's decided he's going to build a Triumph Arch in Washington. It's going to be the Trump Arch, like 250-foot tall arch, to celebrate his victory over Iran, I guess. I don't know if it's a Triumph Arch. It's going to have gold-plated shit all over it, and it'll be the Trump Arch. Apparently, actually, on Jeff's Berwick's last video, he found out that Trump's original name, his real name, is actually Drumpf. Apparently, it's a German name, and when they came to America, they changed Drumpf to Trump. So I guess it's really Donald Drumpf, which makes a lot more sense, really. It's like Malachowski changing his name to Netanyahu. Interesting how it all comes out. So we really should be calling him Donald Drumpf from now on. And I'll have to try to remember that. But yeah, crazy world, folks. A really, really crazy world. I mean, the shit they've done and they intend to do, like I said, this is a new form of warfare where you just go in and obliterate the enemy. No regard for people, no regard for life. Everything that Benjamin Netanyahu or Benjamin Malachowski was saying in the beginning of that video. You dehumanize people. This is what Trump did to the people in Iran.
They are among the most evil people ever on earth. They cut babies' heads off. They chop women in half.
And this is how you do it. You just dehumanize and then you go in and you obliterate. And Iran is incredible. Some really, really ancient old churches there. They've got a mosque there that is made of tiny glass mirrors. The whole inside of this mosque is covered with millions upon millions of little glass mirrors of different colors. They've got some of the most incredible stuff there in that country. They've got some beautiful landscapes. Just a beautiful, beautiful country. This is what the United States is going in there and bombing with Israel. And it's not anything like what you're told. I've shown you so many videos recently showing you that it's not Sharia law. You know, all of those people that you see with the black cloths on their head and they're all dressed in black, there's actually a Jewish sect that lives in Iran, and that's how they dress. So, yeah, there's so much deception that you get from these people. It's incredible. Sure, there's women like that, dressed like that in Iran, and they're Jews. And all the other normal Iranian people just dress how they want to dress. Some of them wear hijabs, some of them don't. It's incredible. You know, and you hear all this stuff about how there's all of these Islamic sleeper cells and there's this Islamic invasion of the West. No, there's a Jewish invasion of the West. I showed you recently, like a couple of months ago, there was a documentary that was put out by a guy called Tyler, and he showed you this village in upstate New York called Kiryas Yoel, where Jews live there, and there's thousands of them, and they have these enormous families where there's like averaging 6 to 7 children per family, but sometimes as many as 17 to 18 children per family. Well, now he's found another one in New Jersey called Lakewood, New Jersey.
You're not welcome here, and you're not welcome in a lot of other places based on your videos.
You don't own this place. You don't own America.
No, you should move on. Nobody wants you here. Please move out.
Tyler, it seems like you discovered that anti-Semitism is lucrative, huh?
So, I obviously thought that we should pay for their money, so why don't you move to a different country?
Why don't you go back to Israel? That would be my question.
I got,
keep
like, public safety, yeah. I'd say 150 calls about you already.
What are they calling about?
People try to live a quiet life.
You two gentlemen, I saw a video of you walking into 136 Hillside. They asked not
fair
to
enough
come back.
Amazing.
If you come back, it will be a trespassing.
If you say anti-Semitism, I say anti-Goyism.
The Jewish community is extremely racist.
You have a group of people that call themselves God's people. You are a Semite supremacist.
Elon Musk has 12 kids. Why can't I have 12 kids?
He pays for them. You're arguing that I should pay for your kids.
I'm arguing that the government said.
That's our money. I pay taxes.
Excuse me, sir. What are you doing? Can I call the cops on you? Look at empty.
We may be in a corrupt hellhole.
So what am I being pulled over for?
We got a call.
Keep your hands on the steering wheel when you do so.
This is Lakewood, New Jersey, home to one of the largest and fastest growing Orthodox Jewish communities in America, having anywhere from 6 to 10 kids per family, causing the community's rapid growth to spill into the neighboring towns of Jackson, Toms River, Brick, and Howell, causing non-Jewish residents to fear that their town will soon be turned into Little Jerusalem, just like Lakewood.
The tactics within this community, I would liken it to organized crime.
You were the vice chairman of the Israel Advisory Committee for Donald Trump in 2016. How did you get a relationship with the White House? Who in the White House?
I don't want to say.
Who are we messing with here right now, Chris? Is this video a mistake, man?
I'm going to be honest. The powers out here are pretty immense.
It's not about Jackson. Jackson is a test case. If it isn't squashed soon, is going to take over the entire country.
It's already a problem in all the surrounding towns. You have billionaires from Lakewood being involved. People connected to the president of the United States.
In New Jersey, is there room for a two-state solution?
No, there's clearly not. I think it's going to be a fight.
I ride around Lakewood. There are near Lakewood, outside of Lakewood,
and all these towns around Lakewood, there are housing developments. Where Goyim lived, there are no Yidden there yet, but all these housing developments, someone who... They could turn it around. We saw what happened in Lakewood itself. There are a lot of other opportunities if people want to take that jump and become a shtickle pioneer.
As the Orthodox Jewish community consolidated political power in Lakewood, taking majority control of the township committee, planning board, zoning board, and school board, financially depleting the public school system for non-Jewish kids, overwhelming local infrastructure, and turning a once quiet town into a densely populated, over-trafficked Jewish enclave prioritizing Jews over non-Jews. Before I investigate the Jewish takeover of Lakewood and of the nearby town of Jackson, I first want to visit the town where the blueprint was born, Muncie, New York.
Someone like David Badner saw the opportunity a few years ago. He bought several 50 to 100 houses in Muncie. I believe that he single-handedly, in a certain way, turned around Muncie. These are opportunities that come up every once in a while, and someone has to step up to the plate.
Miller News, thanks for meeting up on such short notice, man.
My Muncelandians know we here. We outside.
Yeah. When did you notice Muncie begin to form as a Hasidic Jewish enclave?
I would say 20 years ago, okay. I saw the first start of it, and then every year, it just started to grow exponentially.
Okay. Hey! Different Tyler, stop. It's me. How are you? Stop what?
They on Tyler. Tyler, stop.
But the Jews here were not happy to see me after I asked how they afford 7 to 10 kids on a single income and if they were on welfare in Kiryas Joel. How many kids do most people have out here?
17, 18.
How do they afford 17, 18 kids?
They are proud to do what the Torah says, that you need to be multiple and fruitful.
How do you afford to study the Torah, though?
God, help me.
Does the American taxpayer help you, too?
Also, yes.
How do people afford to have such big families out here? Basically, through block voting, Orthodox Jews won enough seats to control the East Ramapo School Board and went on to eliminate hundreds of public school positions like teachers and social workers, while approving millions of taxpayer dollars to be spent on their children's religious private schools, ultimately gutting the public school system for the estimated 9,000 black and brown public school students, while diverting that money to their private religious schools.
They give us food that's rotten and it's cold and it hurts our stomach.
I ask you, do not take our music program away. I love playing an instrument. My brother would be crushed.
And the budget cuts were so devastating that in one instance, an elementary school shut down and the majority Jewish school board then voted to sell it to a Jewish yeshiva for pennies on the dollar. Basically, the poorest, most vulnerable kids in these communities had their schools gutted and looted, all by a majority Jewish school board whose kids didn't even attend public school.
We believe that some of the decisions that have been made by the board have not been in the best interest of the public school community.
You don't like it? Find yourself another place to live.
Yeah, so it's not Islam that is taking over your country.
My perfect dummy, you have served us well. We brought you into this world to do our bidding. Put our will into action. We sustained you just like we sustained those before you. Biden, Obama, Bush, and Clinton. Soon your time will be over, and we will bring another to replace you. Till then, speak our words. Tell the world what we wanted to hear. Iran is evil. war is good. The world is threatened by Iran. And make sure you never forget the most important part. Israel is your friend. The world must protect Israel. There is no United States without Israel.
It's Judaism that is taking over your country, and they're destroying everything they can in all other countries. I mean, some of the war crimes, like I said, that they've done in Iran. They've destroyed so far 763 schools in Iran, 316 medical centers in Iran. And nobody's doing anything about it. Nobody's standing up to them. Spain is the only country that has actually stood up to this, said that the United States can't use their airspace, and it severed all ties with Israel. Israel, of course, responded by literally threatening Spain.
Israel לא תשתוק מול מי שתוקף אותנו. ספרד הכפישה את גיבורנו, את חיילי צה"ל, חיילי הצבא המוסרי ביותר בעולם. ולכן הנחיתי היום לסלק את נציגי ספרד ממרכז התאום בקריית גת, לאחר שספרד בחרה שוב ושוב להתייצב נגד ישראל. מי שתוקף את מדינת ישראל במקום את משטרי הטרור, מי שעושה זאת לא יהיה שותף שלנו לגבי עתיד האזור. אני לא מוכן לסבול את הצביעות הזאת ואת העוינות הזאת. אני לא מתכוון לאפשר לאף מדינה לנהל נגדנו מלחמה מדינית בלי לשלם על כך מחיר מיידי.
Yeah, and that is an open threat that we will instantly cause shit for you if you turn your back on us. And as soon as that happened, you found that the next day there were thousands upon thousands of African migrants, all with new life vests, all brought in there on new boats, all with new cell phones, that all landed on Spain's shores the very next day. All brought in there by Israeli NGOs such as HIAS. And what you also saw was a massive amount of weather modification over the country as well. There was a concert, just an outdoor concert in Barcelona. Have a look at the skies. Yeah, interesting. Remember the last time Spain did something Israel didn't like and suddenly Barcelona and a whole bunch of areas on the east coast all suddenly flooded with unprecedented rainfalls? Well, perhaps you've got that happening again as well. But you've got all of these migrants suddenly showing up, being brought there by Israeli NGOs, right on cue as soon as Spain shut its borders and shut its communications to Israel. I believe there was actually a UN soldier who happened to be Spanish, a sergeant in the UN peacekeeping corps in Lebanon, who was also arrested in Lebanon by IDF simply because he was Spanish. Yeah, so anyway, there's this huge big rift building between Spain and Israel. I mean, they're the only ones who are really standing up. Even over Easter in Spain, every Easter in Spain, they have an effigy and they burn an effigy. It's supposed to represent Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus, what Easter's all about. And so every year they put the most evil person they can think of for that year on the effigy, and that's who they burn for the year. This year they put Benjamin Netanyahu on the effigy. Yes, of course, the Israeli reaction to this was to say that this is an incredibly anti-Semitic thing to do, and that Spain is gone, it's deluded, you know. Interesting, I would think, that the people of Spain think Benjamin Netanyahu is the most evil man on earth, as does most of the world. I mean, here's this guy who's wanted for war crimes, seems to have a free ticket in and out of the White House and in and out of a lot of Western countries, but he's a war criminal and he is carrying out war crimes. He is one of the most evil people we have seen. And as I've said before, you know, the important thing to look at is the way this changes warfare, and it changes the way governments think about human beings. Well, visibly, I mean, they've always thought this about human beings, but it kind of legalizes it now. And you see what's happening. A lot of people are saying, well, this is an incredible move from Trump because he's causing people to buy oil from the United States now. They don't understand how fast oil travels or how slow oil travels. Like these huge tankers, these are very, very slow. A lot of the oil that was supposed to leave the Persian Gulf and go to places like Australia and Europe and Malaysia and other places, and the fertilizers and things that were supposed to go there, are not arriving. Because it isn't just about oil. It's about petrochemicals. It's about fertilizers. A lot of the fertilizer isn't going to get to Europe. It's planting season now. You need to have the crops in the ground, like now. They need to be putting the crops in the ground. You could have ships fill up with oil and stuff in the United States now and go into the Gulf of Mexico right up to Texas and fill up. That's where a lot of them appear to be going. But again, these are huge oil tankers. Even if they fill up with oil, they move at the speed of a bicycle. It takes 3 months for an oil tanker to get from the United States to Malaysia or to Australia or to bottom of South America or anywhere. It takes months for these things to get anywhere. Even if they were to leave the Persian Gulf now, the ones that have fallen, it would take them months to get down to Australia, to get to anywhere. So even if it all starts flowing now, well, the crops this year are not going to be planted. Some of them will be because of some of the fertilizer that they've got stored in backup, but a lot of them won't. They say there's 39 days worth of diesel left in Australia, 30 days worth of jet fuel, 30 days or 40 days worth of gasoline, petrol. Figures like this. Well, you know, you're not going to have a ship arrive there for 3 months, even if it leaves now, 3 or 4 months. So that's at least 90 to 120 days before you're going to get any fuel. So what happens in between now and then? When it runs out in 30 days or 39 days, well, what do you do after that for the next 60 days or so? This is the stuff that people aren't taking into account. And then even that's if it all comes online now, which it isn't. I mean, now Trump is blocking the strait. It's insane. Saying that everyone's got to buy oil from Texas. And even if they do, if they buy oil from the United States, well, what about all the fertilizer? What about all the other stuff that's used? What about all the electronic components that need chemicals from petrochemical plants in the Persian Gulf down in Malaysia so they can create electronic parts, so they can sell them to companies like Tesla and companies in the United States and companies in Europe to make computers and cell phones and all the stuff they do with this? What happens with all that? You know, there's so many things involved in this. It's a huge knock-on effect. And you're not really seeing it because even when it all happened, I mean, there were ships that left the Persian Gulf in February, before any of this started, they're still on their way to their destinations. There are probably ships that are on their way to Australia from the Persian Gulf that have yet to arrive. Unfortunately, what's happened is that you're seeing many of these ships changing direction halfway through their voyages. They're making right angle turns and they're going somewhere else. Because you might find that a ship going to, say, Australia was suddenly offered more money by the Malaysian government to come to Malaysia. So the ship will just go, well, okay, and they'll turn and they'll go to Malaysia. And then another country might say, well, hang on a minute, we'll give you a little bit more money than them for you to come to the Philippines. Oh, okay, we'll go there instead. Oh, well, hang on, we'll give you a bit more money to come here. And this is the way it goes. But there was a lot of ships in transit. There was a lot of oil in the stockpiles when all this started. So people haven't really noticed the shortage yet. But in another month, it'll start to really become apparent. In another 2 months, people will be going, what the fuck is happening? And that's even if it would all come back online now. People are saying, oh, this was a bold move by Trump. Now he's got everyone buying gas and oil off the United States. Great move economically. Well, no, they're crashing the entire world economy to do that. Yeah. And the reason Trump is trying to say he's in control of the straits and he's not going to let other people go in and buy any oil is because Trump knows that if people are able to move through that strait simply because they're not allied with the United States and they're able to pay for that oil in Chinese yuan or cryptocurrency, then it's the end of the petrodollar and it's the end of the United States. It's imperative for the United States to survive that it maintain control of the petrodollar. If people stop trading in oil in US currency, there is no United States. See, Trump didn't know he was going to get played this way. Trump's an idiot. If you haven't figured that out yet, folks, he's an idiot. He's a sex maniac, perverted, sadistic, psychopathic idiot. All of his art of the deal, all this stuff, well, what was his deal? Getting bailed out by the Rothschilds, getting bailed out by Sheldon Adelson, getting bailed out by everything. He fucked up all of his companies. He went to all these parties with Epstein and hung out in that crowd. He's just so involved in all this shit, it's ridiculous. That's why he didn't want anyone looking into the Epstein files. And that's why Melania's come forth and said the stuff that she said, because this woman who was a good friend of hers, this Amanda Ungaro, has probably got a lot of dirt on Melania and a lot of dirt on Donald Trump. Yeah. They certainly didn't look very happy over Easter at the Easter presentation that they gave. So maybe she just wants to distance herself from Donald Trump as well. Now, what does Easter even mean? We all know what an American Easter means, what it's really all about. Of course, they say it's about Jesus, but no, really, it's not about Jesus at all. It's just about chocolate. And so, yeah, it looks like this war is going to continue, as we knew it would. Israel simply won't comply with any ceasefire. Like I said, I think a lot of people are being puppeteered in this. Like, as bad as Trump is, and I think he's a megalomaniacal, narcissistic, pedophilic moron. He is. He's a bought and paid for puppet. But given all of that, I don't think he's part of the big, big club. He's part of the big club, but not the big, big club. And Israel has hung him out to dry. I don't even know if Bibi is part of the big, big club, because I think he's getting hung out to dry as well. He looks so sick, if he's even still alive, if that's even him. But everybody's being played. Even the Iranians are being played. Like I explained to you on the last show, they had to see the West as being as degenerate as it is. The Epstein files were released when they were released for a reason. It's all part of the same programming. Now, how do you get Iran to want to attack the West and to really want to wipe the West out? How do you get so many people in the West to be cheering on Iran in wanting to wipe out the West? It's like the people saying, the Iranians saying, yes, yes, we want Trump to come and bomb us. We really want you to free our country. We love our country so much, we want you to come and drop bombs on it. It's kind of the same mentality. I mean, we would all like to see the United States government brought down and the state of Israel brought down for what it's done. But yet here we are cheering on a country who is justified in wanting to destroy the West completely. It's interesting. I mean, admittedly, they were pushed into that. But then even with all of that, I mean, step back and look at the 30,000 foot view. Israel and the United States attacked Iran, bombed their oil refinery, bombed their presidential palace, took out all their leadership, took out a school full of children, all sorts of stuff that they did. Iran's response has been to send a shitload of missiles to Tel Aviv, sure, but also to bomb all the infrastructure in the Middle East. Sure, I can understand bombing the US bases, but why are you bombing all the oil infrastructure? In fact, how is Israel still even able to bomb Iran? The amount of missiles, what, wave 100, 102, 104, 106, what are we up to now? How many waves of hypersonic missiles are you sending over there? What are they hitting? Why is Tel Aviv still there? Why are any Israeli air bases functional? Why is any airports functional in Israel? Why is the power supply functional in Israel? How is Israel able to go and bomb Lebanon the way it's doing if you're firing all these missiles at Israel and hitting critical infrastructure? Is that what you're doing? Or are you simply firing missiles at energy infrastructure in the greater Middle East and supporting the breakdown of the Western world? And we know Israel wants to destroy the United States. Israel wants to destroy the West. They've always wanted to do that. And we've seen how sadistic they're prepared to be about it. And kind of we're sitting back here watching all this theatrics in the Middle East, thinking, well, yeah, Iran's going to take down Israel. Well, Israel's been under missile attack from Iran for, 40 days now, 42 days. Why is it still there? Why is Tel Aviv still there? How can you have any air bases operational in Israel at all? Israel's the size of New Jersey, for God's sake. Why is it still there? What's really going on here? Because it doesn't seem like Israel's suffering at all. If Israel has still got the capability to go and carpet bomb Lebanon and do what it's doing, blowing up entire villages in Lebanon.
Can you hear me, ladies?
Yes, I can.
Taras. دكتور فينا سكر ونزق لها صوت صاير
دكتور ضربوا عنا انا صار متره بدي اظهر
لا صار هيدا
يا عطرة يا مارلياس يا أمي دخيل إجريك
ولك روح يا أمي لوين نازل
يا يسوع دخيل إجريك يا يسوع
طلع هلا لا لا
ها في حدا؟
حيوصلوا لك الشباب، حيوصلوا لك، ما تخافي.
لارسا اعطيني ايدك لهون يا عمو.
ما في على الان اجرى رسام،
اعطيني ايدك لهون يا عمو، هو بيشيلك من هوليكي. لارسا
يلا طلعت، طلعت باذن الله، طلعت
طلعت
يا علي
يا رب
يا علي.
If Israel is still able to do this, then what the fuck is Iran hitting? How are they still able to do this? Doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, does it, folks? And then as soon as there was any possibility of peace talks, I mean, Israel sabotaged them anyway. You know, the ceasefire agreement they'd come to, where Donald Trump said that these 10 points are a starting point for negotiations. And then Israel bombs the shit out of Lebanon, so Iran says, well, the deal's off. And then they send Jared Kushner and the rest over there to say, well, hang on, this is our demands. And while that was happening, I mean, Trump had asked Bibi to tone things down a little bit in Lebanon while the peace talks were happening. And Bibi just said, no, fuck you, I'm just going to keep attacking Lebanon and doing what I want to do. Which basically showed that Trump's just a little monkey being led around by Israel, and Israel doesn't give a shit what the United States says or does or thinks about them or anything. I mean, like I showed you before, they're in there building settlements in frickin' Lebanon while they're at war with the place, and Google Maps are taking frickin' Lebanese villages off the map, off Google Maps, as soon as Israel wipes them out. Israel goes in there and plants explosives, wipes an entire village out in one blast, which shows you that there is no resistance there. They got time to go in and wire up an entire village to explode in one blast. I would say there's no resistance. So what happened to all the people in that village? What, did they kill them? Rape, pillage and plunder? They murder them all in their houses before they got there? Give them evacuation orders? We don't hear about any of that sort of stuff, do we? They just take them off and harvest their organs, do what they do to prisoners. Human organs are a very, very valuable resource, folks, and Israel is the largest trafficker of human organs on earth. You know, it's so blatantly obvious and it's so blatantly evil now, what we're facing, what Israel is, the treatment of the Palestinian prisoners, the fact that they've displaced 1.1 million people in Lebanon just in the last 2 weeks, bombing suburban areas of downtown Beirut at 3 o'clock in the morning, apartment buildings, so many bombs going off at one time, like hundreds of bombs going off in minutes. It's absurd. I mean, it's got to the point with all this happening, the utter disregard for human life that we've seen in Gaza, that we're seeing in Lebanon, that we're seeing in Iran. It's gotten to the point that, I mean, it should be clear to everybody, and the rampant infestations that are happening around the world, like in that village, Kiryas Yoel in upstate New York, and now in Lakewood, New Jersey. This type of infestation, we're seeing this also in Ukraine, where they're building fences across their land and saying that they've got their own police there and everything, and you're not allowed onto the land. We're seeing the same thing happening now in Patagonia, in Argentina. We're seeing Jewish-only apartment buildings going up in Bonfil and Diamante in Acapulco in Mexico here. It's an infestation that's happening right around the world, and we're seeing this happening everywhere, and they're showing you what they're prepared to do to the local civilization. And all they have to do is use the specter of anti-Semitism to insinuate themselves into any position of power. Oh, we want to come and join your local council. What, you don't want us on here because we're Jews? Well, that's discrimination, that's anti-Semitism. They'll wage a huge protest and they'll get funding withdrawn from your local council if you don't let them become part of that council. And then they'll gradually kick all of you local people out and they'll fill it full of Jews, and then they'll rechannel all of the funding that the council gets towards Jewish-only projects, Jewish-only schools, Jewish-only shopping centers, Jewish-only suburbs, and they would deplete the rest of the community the way they're doing in New Jersey, the way they did in Minton, the way they did in Kiryas Yoel, the way they do everywhere they go. Undermine the local culture and infest the local culture and get rid of everybody else. This is what they do. They're trying to do it here in Mexico as well, slowly but surely, because of course we have a Jewish president here in Mexico now. She's been very outspoken in support of Palestine and saying lots of good stuff because she knows probably how thin her grasp is on the situation here. But she has announced, or her government has announced the other day, that very soon Mexico is going to go completely digital, and it's going to happen very quickly, apparently.
Oh, my Mexico. Okay, so not only are they banning cash in January of next year, 2027, but now they have decided by June of this year, which is 2 months, that all 127 million mobile phone users will have to register their numbers with a biometric data, which will include fingerprints, iris scans, or facial recognition. And if you don't want to, you don't have to. You'll just be cut from cell service. This also includes prepaid phones. This includes the Amigo phone lines. All of it. All of it. Makes a little bit of sense when you know that the president is... So this digital push is here. It's been here, but Mexico's going hard and we're right behind. Everyone's right behind. So just remember that mandates mean nothing if you say no.
Yeah, so that's interesting. 2 months, they're saying that you won't be able to have a cell phone account if you have not registered your biometrics to have a cell phone. You know, they sort of do this sort of stuff, like you need a cell phone account or you need a cell phone in order to receive alerts from your bank and stuff like this. If you buy airline tickets here in Mexico and some of the local carriers like Volaris, you can't download your ticket online anymore. If you don't have a ticket when you arrive at the airport, it costs you 100 pesos or 160 pesos or something to have a ticket printed up, because they say, well, you should have done it yourself. But then they remove the ability to download it from their website. Now it has to be sent to your phone. If you don't have it sent to your phone, the other option is to have it sent to your WhatsApp account, which is, of course, linked to that same phone number. So if you don't have a phone, then you're not going to be able to actually get your airline tickets from Volaris. Things like that. This is how they trap you. I mean, soon they want licenses to go digital and all sorts of stuff like that. But they're saying they want to phase out cash by January as well. I don't know how this is going to work in Mexico. There's a lot of people in Mexico who don't even have bank accounts. Little taco stands on the side of the road and stuff. People don't roll up with credit cards and buy tacos. The taco people don't have swiping machines. So this may be the straw that breaks the camel's back in Mexico. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out, because, of course, if it gets to the point where you have to have biometrics in order to use your cell phone because you're going to need it to access your bank account, then I won't be able to stay in Mexico. I mean, I do all my stuff on a laptop anyway. I don't use my cell phone. The cell phone, like I explained to you before, what I have to go through to get airline tickets. Obviously, I need a cell phone for that. It's very rare for me to get a message to approve some transaction with my bank. If that happens, I generally log on to the bank on my computer and I approve it that way. I don't do it through the cell phone. The cell phone comes in handy for airline tickets, basically. So without the cell phone, there's a chance I might not be able to get airline tickets. If I'm not able to travel. Well, that's going to be interesting. But so I don't see how I'm going to be able to stay here. And also if they ban cash, like I said, I don't see how they're going to be able to do that, because Mexico functions pretty much on cash, a lot of it. But I've never actually made a transaction using a credit card unless I've bought airline tickets online or I've bought tea bags or something on Amazon. In the real world, at a restaurant, at a supermarket, at anywhere in the real world, at any store I've ever been to go and buy jeans, to do whatever, I've paid cash for every single thing I've ever bought in my entire life. Even in Australia, if I had to buy a car, if the car was, you know, $4,000 or something, well, I would save up $4,000 and then I would go and pay cash for the car. So that's the way I've always done it. I've never bought anything using a card in the real world, and I want to keep it that way for as long as possible. And I'll never ever be giving my biometrics to anything online. Look, to use my biometrics to sign into a computer or to sign into my cell phone or to sign into a website, no, I will never ever do anything like that. I mean, having to give your fingerprints and submit a photograph to travel through customs, the United States has been doing this for the last 15 years. I mean, your photograph is on your passport. You actually have to give fingerprints when you apply for your passport. So, I mean, to me, that's kind of different. You're getting a photograph taken, and I mean, I gave my fingerprints to the United States Border Security back in, I don't know, like 2010 or 2012 or something like that, like a long time ago. And that's, you know, I haven't had to ever give them again. So that sort of thing, I mean, to me, that's not getting too biometrically involved. It's when they want you to use your biometrics to sign onto your computer or to log into your cell phone or to log online. Because, I mean, once all that border stuff's in place, which it is, once they can connect those biometrics at the border to your online profile, that's when you have all this instantaneous checkup happen. They don't like a post you made on Twitter 2 years ago. They don't like what you liked on Facebook 3 years ago. They don't like something you said on MySpace 12 years ago or 15 years ago. They'll flag you once you are biometrically linked up to your own accounts online. Once you have used your biometrics to sign into anything online, then you're in that grid. So I will never do that. I will never use my biometrics to sign up to anything. So, I mean, I'm lucky. I've got a lot of stuff happening. I've got my bank account open and a lot of stuff happening. My email accounts, all that sort of stuff, years ago before any of this came online. So I've still got all of that. But if it comes about that I go to renew my cell phone account in July or something and I'm told I need to supply biometrics to do so, well, then that'll be the end of that cell phone account, which will mean that as soon as there's an update on WhatsApp, that will be the end of that WhatsApp account as well. So I have to find a workaround for that. I'll probably just have to move over to something like Telegram permanently. I don't know. The Telegram account I've got was opened for me by one of the moderators on my channel, who actually opened it using a UK number, which was really good of him. So, yeah, it's kind of not traceable to me either. So, interesting times, folks, really interesting times. So I really don't know where I'm going to end up at this stage. It's just going to depend on what happens. I mean, I have to go in for my full residency in a couple of months as well. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. and what sort of stipulations you're going to make with that. So, yeah, who knows, folks? Hell of a ride, hey. But you've got to be ready for anything. This is why I say you've got to face infinity without flinching. And people still don't seem to understand that. They think it means stand there and allow yourself to be slaughtered and pretend you're brave or whatever. No, it's just being able to adapt. Facing infinity without flinching is being able to adapt to any situation and simply go with that new reality. Ride the wave through the game, you know. Find a way through, find the path of least resistance through to the other side of this simulation or whatever it is. It's crazy. But it should be apparent to everybody that, you know, this is going to go where it's going to go now. Trump is completely compromised. That's what I mean before I was saying. I mean, he's an idiot. He didn't know he was going to get thrown out to dry. The Iranian people also, I think they had to be pushed into this. But then, yeah, a lot of them, a lot of these 31 commanders in this mosaic defense system seem to be targeting the wrong things. Like I said before, why does Israel still exist? Israel's the size of New Jersey. You're telling me you put over 100 waves of missiles into Tel Aviv? Why is there a building still standing? Look at Gaza. Look at Gaza. Look what Israel has done to Lebanon in 2 weeks, to southern Lebanon. Why are we seeing anything standing at all in Tel Aviv? And why does Israel still have the ability to pound Iran the way it's doing and pound Lebanon the way it's doing and do what it's doing to Gaza? Why is anything still standing in Israel? I'd like that explained for me, please. But, you know, looking at all this, looking at what Israel's doing, and it set up this whole specter of anti-Semitism to protect its actions. It's got to the point, like I was saying before, that any politician, any news media personality, any influencer at all who is standing with the state of Israel is an enemy of humanity. Israel itself is a terrorist state. The entire Israeli ideology is a system of hatred. You've seen the treatment of the Palestinian prisoners, the suffering of these people. One woman said she was strapped to a metal table and repeatedly raped for days on end. The way they bend them over double to make them travel, they always beat them before they execute them as well. I've just passed legislation saying that it's legal for them to execute 10,000 Palestinian prisoners, specifically for Palestinians, but we're not apartheid. Yeah, right. It's horrendous. Leaving them to suffer in this tent in Al-Malwasi, this tent city, it's disgraceful. Any politicians that are supporting this, any media personality that is supporting this, any one of those people as well who is not looking at this and relating it to the Epstein files and what's happening. And it's time we reclaim the world, folks. I mean, this is why the Iranians call this the Epstein class, and they're completely correct in what they're saying. It is the Epstein class that is doing all of this. And Israel is the most evil state that has ever existed It has infiltrated all of our Western political systems, except perhaps that of Iran and Spain. Maybe there's a few others that aren't quite so heavily influenced, but most of them are. And it's time for the people of the world to realize what's happening here. Trump isn't your friend. None of the governments are your friend. They're all involved in this. They're all a bunch of baby-eating child rapists. They're all in the same cult. And it's time we reclaim the world, folks. And if we're not going to do that, then at least don't go and fight their wars for them. I mean, what the fuck are you people doing? It's ridiculous. Why anyone would be picking up a weapon and going to fight for these people, it's a ridiculous concept. They all go and fight for the baby eaters. It's just ridiculous, folks. It's absurd. What happened to us? What happened to the human race? Yeah, we are supporting the most evil of all evils by supporting the state of Israel. And any politician who is supporting this is not supporting your country, is not a friend of your country. It's time we recognize it, folks.
Another day where we don't have money for health care, but we do have money for war.
Oh no, it's not a war.
But yet it's always been a war.
The war is just beginning.
The war is ending.
The war is over.
The war hasn't started.
The war is taking a gap year to figure itself out.
Hi, Martha.
Here is the agenda for our meeting on what color the company notebooks should be this year.
The war is on a break.
The war is ready to commit, but still won't let you meet its maw.
The war is taking a 2-year hiatus because production is complicated.
The war is coming out with a 24-episode season.
Martha, I think Midnight Black is fine. I really don't think that anyone will be upset that we didn't pay the extra 50 cents for Twilight Black.
The war is a remake of an older war. The war is completely original.
Martha, I just really don't think we need a whole meeting to decide if we want to go with the glossy finish or the matte.
The war is a war. It's not like all the other wars.
War is going to be there in 2 minutes.
The war hasn't even gotten in the shower yet.
Timothée Chalamet hates opera and ballet. All right.
You know, and the whole concept of American strength, it's all been a paper tiger. All these American bases that they had in the Persian Gulf. I mean, people think, oh, it's a base. It's a U.S. military base. The term sounds strong. And you have all these Hollywood films that show you what happens on a US military base, which is all complete bullshit. And Iran just went and took all of it out. So it was all a paper tiger. They showed that it's all, the United States is not capable of defending that part of the world. They don't have the military power there to defend that part of the world. They've got a few bases, a few soldiers, most of which are probably dead now. But they don't have the ability to defend that part of the world. So the whole thing has been a paper tiger. That's a lot of what Hollywood has been about, just to brainwash people into thinking America is this all-powerful nation. We've got the Avengers and Superman and all of this sort of shit. It's just been one big paper tiger. But all this has been deliberate. Most of the people of Iran support what their government is doing in defending themselves against American and Israeli imperialism. But like I said, is their government really doing that? Because if they are, then how come there are still targets to bomb in Israel? Israel should be gone by now. It's been 40 days, 42 days. Why is it still there? It's going to be interesting to see how all this plays out, isn't it? Trump's big Epstein moment.
Don't fight it, Donnie. We've been bonded since the 90s. We don't want those tapes to come out now, do we? Call Tucker Low IQ. Tell them that Candace is unattractive. Oh, and call Alex Jones a nut job.
I've given you war. I've given you chaos. I've done everything you've asked me to.
Asked? Silly Donnie. I don't ask. Baby, it's me. He's gone. I'm in charge now. You'll get everything. The wars, the money, all of it. Now about these tapes.
I got that.
Yeah. A lot of the AI has been very creative, hasn't it? Which is good to see. But anyway, folks, look, I'll leave it there for now. keep watching out for a false flag and pay attention to what's going on in Spain as well, with all these migrants, and watch out for some sort of weather event. But still watch out for a false flag in the United States. I mean, Trump is losing so much support. That's why the media is telling us that he has so much support, because he absolutely doesn't. So yeah, just pay attention. I'm going to leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on this report. It's always a pleasure to have your company. I'll see if I can find where these dogs are. There they are. Over there, I think they're following me. I'll come back around here. They kind of stick around. They're good, these little dogs. But I'll look forward to speaking to you again soon. Like I said, I mean, it's a fun ride, but you really do have to be able to face infinity without flinching, folks. You've got to be prepared to step on whatever path this reality presents you with. And we are at a crossroads. There are so many possibilities as to where this could go. Look at these dogs. Here they come. Hello, little darling. How you doing? Hello, Nacho. Hey, little Nacho. What's happening, girl? Hello, Saul. Oh, my. What's going on? What's going on? But yeah, just keep an eye out for what's happening, folks. Be prepared. I mean, that's all I'm saying. When I tell the people, look, you know, stay safe and blah, blah, blah. And people commenting saying, oh, you're telling them to face the infinity without flinching, and then you're telling them to stay safe. Well, yeah, it's kind of the same thing, because you've got to be prepared to step onto whatever path reality is going to present you with, and make sure that whatever happens, even if we head into Mad Max world, which is a really good chance of actually happening, especially in places like Europe and Australia, then you've got to be able to find a way through that. And it is to be hoped that a spark of human decency and integrity will be what makes it through to the other side. Hopefully more than a spark. Hopefully that will be the dominant attitude after what we're about to go through. Because we're really about to go through a hell of a ride, folks. Everything that's happened in the last 20 years, 25 years since the 9/11 attacks, it's all been leading up to this point right now. They want to get all this in place by 2030. They want their big depopulation event. And we're here for the main event. It's trippy. So yeah, you've got to find a way of weaving your way through it. So yeah, do stay safe. Please do stay safe. Everybody. But anyway, folks, I'm going to leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on this report. It's always a pleasure to have your company. I look forward to speaking to you again soon. Please take very good care until then. Thank you, of course, to anybody who's ever sent me kind emails and any of that sort of stuff. Anybody who's ever made a donation, I could really do with some at the moment, folks, if you're able to. And I'll look forward to speaking to you again soon. It's really hard to keep up with everything that's going on, but hey, just enjoy the ride. Pay attention. Enjoy the ride. At least we're getting informed by Lego animations, huh? Yeah. Anyway, folks, I'll speak to you again soon. Please take very good care until then. In La Cache. Nacha. Hello, little darling. Hello, little girl.
Keep that same energy. You ain't nothing but a fraud. Yo, call him what he is. Liar! Yeah, hey, 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 loser, come closer. I'm the exposer. Fake billionaire, your whole empire opposer. You step down, another liar takes the crown. The whole system is a circus. You're just a clown. You drop fake news, sitting high in your tower. Morally bankrupt. Just drunk on the power, you're fired. Played your last trump card.
you discarded. Look in the mirror, tell me what you see. Big ego crushed, fake reality. We carve it in stone, we spell it in the fire. Ready for the truth. Too high. All your crimes buried deep inside. Rotten systems, you're gonna slide. L-I-A-R. Yeah, we see you. L-I-A-R. We don't. Wipe us off the socials, yeah, you're hiding in fear. Trying to silence every voice you don't wanna hear. From the MJ to Diana, yeah, we see how it goes. The system buries light, but the shadow always shows. Illuminati, watch blood and the perjury, you lie. But the mission is Epstein Fury. Yeah, round fool, yeah, the records are proof. Now we expose it all, this is hateful truth. Look in the mirror, tell me what you see. Big ego crushed, fake reality. We carve it in stone, we spell it in the fire. Ready for the truth. Your pride, all your crimes buried deep inside. Rotten systems, you're gonna slide. High, high.
L-I-A-R. 13%, that's a failing grade. The world is watching, 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 watching. Liar!
Like voter ID, but, you know, it can be given to you by your daughter. You know, your daughter, she has to be of age, like above 6 years old, she's allowed to say.